It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm your hostess this morning, Monica Lovell. My beautiful little sister Renee is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest today is gorgeous Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you doing this morning, sister?
I'm just doing wonderful.
Amen. So if you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can text them to 580-485-0837. Or you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. I think I covered it all. Would you pray to start us out, Miss Mary?
Okay. Father God, we give you praise, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Lord, we thank you, God, that you woke us up this morning in our right mind, Lord, and you have gone before us, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the people out there that are listening. Lord, we ask you that you would draw those in to listen today that need this word, Father, and we pray, Lord, already for every need, Lord. You know all of us by name, Lord. You are our God, and we just thank you because you are so wonderful to us, Lord. You love us with an everlasting love, Lord, and we ask you to have your way. Let your name be lifted up and draw all people to you, Lord, today in this program. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, Casting Your Cares.
Yes. You know, this is just a little book that I really don't know how long I've had it, but it made me think of something I used to think about when I've been raised in church all my life. But for a lot of years, I didn't really know how to walk in victory. And I got to thinking about how I would go to church and they would say, you know, crucify the flesh and walk in the spirit, but they never told you how to do that. You know, I mean, they told you were supposed to do that. But, and I would think, well, how am I supposed to do that? And it took me a lot of years before it ever clicked, you know. And so I like to tell people, like, I don't like to just throw things out there and tell them to do something without giving them some idea about how to put it into practice. And this subject that we're going to be talking about today, this, it tells you how to cast all your cares on the Lord, you know. And so what all is involved with that. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, about casting all your cares on the Lord because he cares for us. And so we're going to start off with the scripture in Ephesians 6:18. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so, there's all different kinds of prayer. But the prayer that we're talking about this morning is called the prayer of commitment. You know, the prayer of commitment is when we bring our request to the Lord and we lay it all at His feet. And then when we get up from our place of prayer, we don't pick it up anymore. We leave that burden there at the altar with Jesus. And we walk away with it. We walk away from there. And we say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. And how do we do that? We begin to praise God that we already have the answer. Amen. That He is able, because He says, I will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is focused or stayed on me. We have to believe that God is, first of all, that He loves us and that He's a big God. Sometimes we make God too little. And we have to make God big enough that we know that He is going to be, He is going to hear us first of all, and that He's big enough to do what we ask Him to do, and that He loves us enough to do what we're going to ask Him to do. That He can handle whether our request is a little one or a medium-sized one, or we think it's a great big huge problem. Well, we've got a big God, and He is able to meet every need we have. And sometimes we are tempted to worry about that thing, to pick it up and carry it around with us. But when we do that, and we get about halfway through our day, and all of a sudden we realize that we're already worn out and we still have half the day to go through. Why? Because we didn't leave it at the altar. We picked it up and carried it with us. You know, if those burdens are not meant for us to carry, because Jesus already carried them. He carried them. He suffered everything on the cross that was necessary for us to walk in victory. Our sins are forgiven. The physical needs we have in our body are already taken care of by the stripes that He put on His back, that they put on His back when He went to the cross. He carries our mental anxieties and worries. He says, cast your care on the Lord, look to me, and you will be lightened. He comes to carry our load for us. He walks with us. He takes that worry from us, and He says, let me bear your burdens. Let me carry. I'll give you my peace. I'll walk with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'll carry your load for you. Just trust me and let me be your God. Let me be your sufficiency. Let me be your source. And how do we do that? We praise Him. Mm-hmm. That praise lifts the load. It keeps our eyes focused on the answer that's coming. The answer that He's bringing. Lord, you're my answer. You've got ways to meet my need. that go way beyond me. You know, because you're a big God and you love me with an everlasting love. And you don't want me to have to carry this by myself. Lord, I thank you that you're my best friend. You can do things. You know, sometimes I go to different places around town. Most of the time, I go to Walmart for just about everything, you know. But sometimes I go out there not just to shop. I go out there to talk to people about the Lord. And I just love to walk up to somebody and say, I just want you to know that God wants you to know he loves you today. And he will be your best friend. And he's just waiting to hear from you. You know, and they'll look at me like really surprised, you know, because I walk up to complete strangers and I'll say, could you use a word of encouragement today? Well, there's not one person that I don't know that couldn't use a word of encouragement today, you know. And so, but that perks their ears up. They want to know what you're going to say, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you say something like I just said, well, I mean, it just causes them maybe to have a whole different perspective. Mm-hmm. I just love to do that. You know, I love to do that. And a lot of times the Lord will give me a specific thing to tell them. One time he told me to tell them, just tell them that I'm here to lift their heavy burdens. And all they have to do is trust me. I love them. And I'm going to be there for them. I want to lift their heavy burdens. And so I said, did you know he's just waiting to hear from you? You know? And that puts, God loves us. He's our best friend. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll give you my peace that passes all understanding. I'll relieve your worries. I'll relieve your fears. I'll relieve your anxieties. The things that you are worried about, if you're worried about somebody in the hospital and you need a miracle, I'm the miracle worker. Mm-hmm. Just trust me. Amen. Trust me. You know, and sometimes the devil has put so much fear and anxiety on people that they lose sight of the fact that God loves them. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be their friend. He wants to be their God. And it just helps people to make God big in their life. You know, he's the biggest God. But yet, he's the kind of God that he wants you to bring the smallest little thing to him. He wants to be involved in all of your life. Amen. You know, in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known unto God, and he will take care of them. The prayer of commitment is the prayer of casting all your cares upon the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And in the Amplified Bible, that is penned as casting all the whole of your care. Not just part of it, but the whole shebang, the whole thing, of all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. You're his child. He loves you with an everlasting love. He went to the cross for you. And a lot of people, they say, well, I just don't know if I have enough faith to believe because this thing over here seems to be so big. I don't know if I have mountain moving faith or not. But God, if you think about how Jesus went to the cross for you and he suffered those stripes on his back, he suffered all of the stuff that they did to him before that. They pulled his beard out. They hit him with their hands. And, you know, and they heaped verbal abuse on him. And then they took him and they beat him. Now, when I was growing up, they said they beat him with a whip that was called the cat of nine tails. That meant that it was a whip that had nine pieces of leather in it. And in this leather was pieces of bone, pieces of other fragments, and they didn't just give him a small beating. They hit him with that. That meant that he suffered 9 lashes with every stroke. And they hit him 39 times. Mm-hmm. You take 39 times 9. And that was 351 lashes that he got. I read sometime, his back looked like hamburger meat before they got through with him. They said a lot of people couldn't even survive the beating. They died right there by getting a Roman beating like he took. And then they put a heavy cross on his back and made him carry it up the hill of Calvary. And he fell beneath the load. And he told the people around him, "Don't be concerned for me. Weep for yourself. I'll be fine." He suffered that for us. And we act like that God's just going to forget what his son suffered for us. He's not going to forget that. He's gonna, it says Jesus makes intercession for us. He makes intercession for us. And God's not gonna turn his back on what his son did at Calvary. He paid an awful price for us. He's going to honor the death of his son. And he's going to answer the prayers that are prayed in Jesus' name. Because Jesus told us, he said, "You ask anything in my name and my Father will do it for you." Why? Because he has to honor the name of his son, and he's given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. You know? And you think about that, a lot of prayers that we pray is for deliverance from the oppression of the enemy that Satan is bringing against us. Jesus won the victory over Satan. For us, he overcame everything for us so that we could walk in victory. And there's not any way that God is going to turn his back on what his son did. That ought to strengthen your faith up, you know. If you just think about it, there's no way that when you say in Jesus' name, Father, your son promised us that if we would pray in my name, and we would take, Lord, and there's another scripture that Jesus said, I have given you all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's made a promise to us. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. And if we pray in the name of Jesus and we say, Lord, you promised nothing would by any means hurt us. We're standing on the word of God. Amen. That word that doesn't change. That word that doesn't fail. That word that Jesus gave to us. We're standing on the authority of Jesus. We're standing on the power of Jesus. We're standing on the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're standing on the word of God. Amen. Jesus is the word made flesh. Come on. And his word carries weight. Mm-hmm. And it works every time. Every time. Every time. There is not one reason for us to doubt or be filled with fear, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And fear is the work of the devil. It's an oppression and a bondage that the enemy puts on us. Jesus came to set us free from the fear of the enemy. That's the best word that we could ever receive. The best word. And he's plenty able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And he cares for you. He knows you by name. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows all. You know, sometimes we go around and we carry things and we don't know what's bothering us. And we don't know where it's, you know, but God knows all about it. He knows us. But he knows more about it than we do. And he came to set us free from that, where we don't have to walk in bondage to that anymore. Because that's bondage. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're walking in fear. That's bondage. And he came to set us free from all of that. And he loves you just the way you are. You don't have to be perfect, because he's the perfect one. Amen. And we look to him. And we say, Lord, I have a need today, and I'm not perfect, but you are. You are. And I cast all my cares on you, Lord, and I ask you to help me. I ask you, Lord, come and do in me what I can't do for myself. Forgive me of the sin or the worry or the anxiety that I have allowed to grip my heart. Mm-hmm. Help me to look to you with full faith in you, that you can meet my need, and that you can cause all things to work together for my good. Lord, you say, Lord, that you love me and that you will meet all my needs, and I'm going to believe you for it, Lord. And so, anyway, now I want to go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 25th through the 34th verse. This is a whole big passage of scripture that tells us just what God will do for us and the kind of love that he has for us. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing? Behold, the fowl of the air, the birds, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worry, can add one small cubit unto his stature? Can you add an inch to your height? No. You know, I'm phrasing that, you know. And why take you thought for your clothing, for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so, therefore, we try to move people into believing God now to receive their answer. Don't keep pushing the answers of God into the future. Say, Lord, I receive that answer now in my spirit. And in your timing, Lord, it's going to manifest. But I see my need. It's just like, picture yourself on Christmas morning, how excited you are to see what your gifts are. You know, you can't wait to open that gift from like your mate, or from, if you're a child, from your mom and dad, because you've had all this long list of Christmas gifts that, here's what I want for Christmas, you know, and you don't know which one you got. And a lot of times you get two or three. So you're just sitting there, you know, and you're ready to open those packages and find out what's in them. You don't say, oh, I think I'll wait till next week to open this. You can't hardly wait for Christmas to get there. You know, well, that's the way we ought to be toward God. Lord, you said for me to believe. There's a scripture that says, now faith is. Now faith is. Now is right now. Now faith is. I asked somebody one time because they had made me a kind of a promise. In fact, this person called me and asked me if I would like this certain thing. And I said, I would be honored. So at first this person said, well, you just set the date and you can, and we'll do it. And so anyway, I was thinking about this, and there was another person that was involved, and they said, why don't we just let him do it whenever he's ready? And so he said, okay, we'll do it on a certain date. And then there was something legitimate that happened, and the date got delayed. So he set it up again. And then it came time for it to happen, and something else happened. And I think he changed his mind and said, oh, I think we're going to do something else today. And so I waited for a while. And then finally I went and I said, did I do something that would make you change your mind? Because they didn't mention this happening anymore. And it had been quite a long period of time. And I said, did I do something to make you change your mind? And he said, no. But he never did do it. So finally I said, how long is now? because he had said in front of a whole bunch of people that he was supposed to do this now. You know, so I got him. I said, how long is now? And so he said, we'll do it. And he named a date, and he did it on that date. Finally, he did it on that date. But I counted up the time between when he first promised it to me and the time we got it done. It was a year, 4.5 months that I waited. So you can see why I ask him, how long is now?
Come on.
But God's not like that. You know, God does have a timing, yeah. You know. But when he says, now faith is, you know, we receive the answer in our spirit then, you know. But God, you know. And like we can just picture us opening that gift and receiving it, you know, and we get so excited. And God never lets his now drag. You know? He's right on time. He's never late. He's right on time.
Amen. Would now be a good time for prayer requests,
yes,
Mary?